It's time!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with them. Joining me in studio is a member of the PLU women's basketball team. She is a forward. She wears number 44. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just found out that July 15th is a very exciting and important day, and I'm looking forward to the future. I don't even know if we've told our listeners yet.
Have we put this on air yet?
I don't think so.
But our producer is recently engaged, so congrats to Christian Bond.
Oh, you guys are so nice.
And we're wasting no time. July 15th is coming very soon, and I'm really looking forward to the date.
I have already been warned that I cannot tweet out the address of the reception on the wedding day, so you guys get to know when it is, but you don't get to know where. Sorry
about
that.
That's too bad. Hey, how's that registry going?
It's fine. It's a great thing.
It's a great
thing. The person who asked that question is a member of the POU men's basketball team. He is a point forward. He wears number 32. His name is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you, man?
Christian, I'm good. A little tired, man. Friday, Saturday to the Wits, and then coming back and playing this awkward Tuesday, Saturday schedule is a lot in the basketball team. And, you know, we're pretty tired coming to the end of J-term. We got finals coming up here. So this is about embracing the grind, as Coach Dickerson says. And so that's what we're doing right now. I had practice this morning, then right to the radio show. And just, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of fun.
I hear you about them finals. I should be studying right now, but I'm doing this radio show. So fourth person in studio. Yeah, he's new to the crew. He's a member of the POU football team. He plays tight end. He wears number 87. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you?
I'm golden. Couldn't be better. Made a lot of tips this weekend from delivering pizzas. Excited to be here.
Hey, Christian, I don't know what the heck you and Lacey were thinking letting me and DJ run a show solo.
It went well.
Hey, shameless plug for the radio show. Check us out on Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Mm-hmm. DJ and I's special edition of the show last week. Yep. It was I don't know what Christian called it, but Christian called it energetic. And what was the other word you used?
I think I used maybe bouncy, I think.
Bouncy.
It was a little bouncy.
We were so excited that you even that you let the criminals run the asylum for a day.
Yeah.
We were so happy.
It was a little all over the place. If you want to check that show out, YouTube is the only place you could do it, at Half Athlete Radio. Give us a subscribe while you're there and check out all our clips from shows past. I want to remind you, those of you that are listening right now, that this show and other stories can be found at mastmedia.pou.edu. The full version of this show in podcast form can be found there. And also, during the show, we want to hear from you, our listeners. Feel free to call us at any time. The number to call us is 253-535-7332. Once again, it is 253-535-7332. So let's jump into it. It was an odd week, as Drew mentioned, for the scheduling of the POU basketball schedule. Like they said, they went over to the east side of the state and played the Wits a couple weekends ago, and then the very next night they had Puget Sound. Both the men and the women did. Normally both teams play like a Friday and a Saturday, you know, each week. So let's start with the women. Puget Sound beat POU 91-54 on Tuesday night. We know that POU women have had their struggles this season, but Lacey, that Puget Sound team is a very good one this year.
That's right. Definitely ranked in the top 10 in the nation. I'm not sure where they land at this point in the season. But they have a lot of good players. They got a deep bench. And if you watch those girls warm up, it looks like a football team. They have so many players on their bench, them and George Fox. I give a lot of credit to them. They're a fun team to play because they're good, they work hard, but they're also classy and just respectful women to play against. As for the Lutes, it was a tough loss for sure, especially coming off the Wits and losing both of those games. That's a tough streak in our league, both men's and women's. The Wits and UPS are all three very good teams for both men and women. But we were able to kind of come off of that loss and really reevaluate what we were going to do heading into Linfield, who we just recently played on Saturday.
That's exactly right. Let's move on to Saturday. Like you said, your women's team played Linfield, and it was an incredibly close game against the Wildcats. But unfortunately, Linfield beat POU 58-54. DJ, there was really no obvious advantage for any team, was there?
Actually, there was a slight advantage for PLU. They out-rebounded the Wildcats 40-35. PLU had 15 offensive rebounds and 25 defensive rebounds. And then Linfield had 16 offensive boards to 19 defensive rebounds. Shooting-wise, the Lutes outshot the Wildcats 38% to 35.
Mm-hmm.
The Wildcats didn't gain the advantage in the three-point shooting percentage. They shot 35. PLU only shot 28%. Mm-hmm. But
it was one of those games, Dean,
where
you lead in every important stat category.
You just don't get it done at the end.
Except for three-pointers made and you don't win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except
you don't
except
win.
Free throws
at the
as
end
well.
Of the game.
They outscored them there.
You know what I mean? Just, mm-hmm. It was one of those games. And from a guy who was there.
Okay.
The women played the best basketball they've played all year against Linfield. Mm-hmm. It was the most energetic team basketball they have played all year. It was a ton of fun to watch. The guys were enjoying it. We loved every second of it. And the guys were engaged in the game. We came out after our pregame talk and mm-hmm. all sat in the corner because it was a close game. They were playing well. We wanted to watch the end of it. They played very, very well this weekend.
Why do you think that was, Lacey?
Well, like I said earlier, I think we were able to reevaluate after coming off of those tough losses and just come back together and get back to playing Lute basketball, as we call it, which is playing five girls on the court or on the same page, running our system, which is not something we have done in a while. I don't think we've really ran our system since we were down in Vegas after Christmas. And that really hurts us because we're not as deep on the bench, so I think there is some pressure for the leading scorers to score, and I think, that puts a lot of pressure on those people to put the ball in the hole, which means we're not running a team system because people are so focused on their individual stats, but we were able to put that behind us and really work together and didn't get the win, but we felt accomplished after the game. We felt like we took a step forward, which was good.
So, tough break for the POU women against Linfield. Let's move on and talk about the men a little bit. They too played that weird Puget Sound Tuesday night game and then Linfield on Saturday. If you read the recap on golutes.com that was probably written by some very handsome young journalist guy, you'd know that Puget Sound won 83-73. Drew, where did Puget Sound, kind of gain their advantage?
Three of the last 4 minutes of the first half.
Yeah.
Where they went on in a run where we turned the ball over three or four times and they hit really, really big, long threes and then got an easy layup and then we couldn't get going. And it was on the end of a really, really good spurt of basketball for us too, which was weird. And then we made some substitutions and then the run happened and we just never came back from that. We beat them in the second half. We lost a 40-minute game in 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and
it was.
We woke Puget Sound up because we beat them for 17 minutes of the first half, and then woke them up, and then they ran us out the gym, and we just couldn't recover from a 16-18-0 run, Christian.
It was something like 16-0 in the final 3 minutes of that first half, and then it was too much.
That's what I love about your guys' conference is like. There is not an easy game in that men's conference.
No,
at
not
all.
This year. There's no team that's way out ahead of everybody. Mm-hmm. And then there's no team that's there's no team that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Everybody's good.
It makes the games fun.
You have to play your A game every night.
Mm-hmm. Exhibit A. Pacific goes to Whitworth, beats Whitworth, mm-hmm. then goes to Linfield and gets smacked. And then Pacific beats us, and we beat Linfield, which we'll get to breaking down that game here in a minute. But it's ridiculous. That never happens.
Yeah.
The men's conference this year is absolutely insane.
So let's talk about the conference a little bit. After the loss to Puget Sound, the POU men sat with a 2-5 record in conference. That put them in eighth place heading into the weekend. The team needs to get on a roll if they want to make a a run at this conference tournament here at the end of the year. So head coach Steve Dickerson made some changes to the starting lineup. Who do you add, DJ?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Dickerson added Josh Baird and then our very own point forward charge specialist, Drew Artisone.
That's a new one.
And then Dickerson had this comment about the change. He said, Drew and Josh are total team guys. They move the ball, defend. They move the ball, defend, and care deeply about the team. Lester and Foreman benefit from Drew and Josh being on the floor. And so that's an interesting, very good comment from
it,
the head coach.
It is an interesting comment. The changes worked. POU beat Linfield 67-54 on Saturday. Dickerson said in the comment that DJ just gave to us that Brandon Lester and Dylan Foreman would benefit from having both Baird and Drew on the floor. Did they, Lacey?
Yeah, they did. Lester had 25 points that game, shooting 6 for 16 from the floor. And Dylan ended up with 19 points, shooting 7 for 15. Jared only had four points that game, but grabbed 10 rebounds.
The 10 biggest rebounds that young man's career.
Yeah.
4 points, but let me tell you, that the guy he had to box out was, what, 6'9", in like 240. And Jared just absolutely handled him.
It's like that's a good offensive tackle right there.
Yeah, he looked like one. It was the most physical Jared's played all year. He didn't get to score a heck of a lot, but he really moved the ball well. Really moved the ball well. It was a great game for him. Don't let the statistics fool you. That kid belongs on the D3 team of the week every week.
But I couldn't agree more with Dickerson, and I think it was a good decision. They needed a change. The men's team needed to mix up something in order to get some wins. And I love watching Drew play, obviously. What'd you call him? Charge machine?
Charge specialist.
Charge
taking specialist.
Love watching him play, and I think what you can say about Drew and Josh is that they're total role players, and they're not looking to score every time they get the ball. Instead, they're working to move the offense and get things rolling for the other guys, and that's exactly what they did. And like Dickerson said, even there's no lack on defense when you put them in either. So I think it was a good move to put them in, because then you give those three leading scorers on the team more opportunities to look to shoot the ball.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the men's team has plenty of players who are capable of getting the job done, but sometimes it's figuring out that right combination, and hopefully Dickerson has done that with the changes he's made.
Mm-hmm.
So that win will move the men's team to 3-5 in conference. The team is technically tied for sixth in conference with Puget Sound and Pacific. The top four teams make it to the conference tournament at the end of the season. The winner of that tournament gets an automatic berth in the national tournament. Drew, I'll let you answer. You're a part of the team. What can you do to make the conference tournament at the end of the year? What can your guys do?
Well, it'd be nice in the perfect world we win the next eight. Yeah. Since we're all at home, pretty much coming down the stretch, except for the road trip, where we go on the road to play two of the teams we already beat.
So it's eight of the last 10 games are at home for POU.
Are at home for POU.
Mm-hmm.
All very winnable games. We always play well against the Wits at home. Played them very close over on the eastern part of the state. And so we can do it. If I said what I think was going to happen, I think we win the two this weekend. I think we split the Wits, win the road trip, and then win the last two. And then win seven of the next eight. And, I mean, think about it, Christian. We're only a game out right now, in theory. Mm-hmm. We're only a game out. Can you believe that 3-5 were a game out? Like, yeah. That's how balanced this conference is. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier in this conversation, but, like, 3-5 in a game out's unheard of in the Northwest Conference. It's usually, you know, Whitworth and Whitman at the very, very top, completely unbeaten until they play each other this last week. And then usually George Fox and someone else. But so balanced, it's gonna be fun. Pay attention to men's Northwest Conference basketball. It's gonna be a blast this last 4 weeks.
I'm sure we will.
Couldn't agree more. It should be a very entertaining final 10 games of the season. But right now it's time for a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the NFL Conference Championship games that happened yesterday. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hey everybody, let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them, and do all I can with them. Joining me in studio is a member of the PLU women's basketball team. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Another member of the PLU men's basketball team is Drew Artisoni, and a member of the PLU football team, his name is DJ Winter.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear the show, you can check it out in full podcast form at mast.media.plu.edu. That was a lot of dots. Maybe it's just mastmedia.plu.edu. That's right. Under sports podcast, you can check it out there. If you want to check out short clips of the show, you can do it at YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio in the search bar. You'll see our pictures there. That's us. Clips from this show can be found there. Give us a subscribe while you're at our YouTube page, Half Athlete Radio. If you want to call in the show right now and talk a little bit about how you are tired of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, you can do that by dialing 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. So let's do it right now. Let's talk about the conference championship game. Let's start with the NFC. Lacey, what'd you think?
Interesting game. Not entirely fun to watch. Watching Aaron Rodgers and the Packers get destroyed by the Falcons. Matt Ryan had an incredible game, had 392 pass yards with 4 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown.
Jeez.
MVP.
He's awesome. MVP. So fun to watch him play. He completed passes to 8 different receivers all game. Obviously, Julio Jones led that pack with 9 catches for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns himself. On the flip side, poor Aaron Rodgers, guys, just couldn't keep up. He didn't have a bad game himself, I don't believe. He had 287 yards and 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. I think the momentum shift came when Aaron Ripkowski fumbled the ball in the second quarter, you guys. That was so hard to watch because he had so much momentum, and he was running with, like, 4 guys on him,
mm-hmm.
and got the ball stripped from him, and the Falcons were able to capitalize on it. That was when Matt Ryan ran it in for himself there. So,
a little bit of athleticism there.
Kind of reminds me of myself running with 4 guys on me, just without the fumble.
Oh, wow. My God.
He was putting himself time on out. Big time.
I swear the ghost of Kellen just walked in.
Oh, my God.
Went into DJ's
that
body.
That was such a Kellen comment.
That's so true. DJ, what did you think of the game?
Quick shout out. I told her I would give her one. Quick shout out to Lindsay Nicholson. She's listening right now.
Wow.
Really? During the football section, you're going to shout out to Lindsay?
Okay, so back to the games. I think Aaron Rodgers kind of had Russell Wilson's problem in the divisional round. He didn't have a lot of time.
Well, I just thought he was on his phone too much.
No, his O-line didn't give him a lot of time, and he was running for his life a lot of the time, and he just wasn't able to get a lot of timing with his wide receivers and... You disagree, Drew?
I mean, how about the fact that, you know, they have number 88 in the backfield, so there's a wide receiver playing running back.
Rodgers actually led them in rushing, too. He had 4 carries for 46 yards.
Jordy Nelson's got broken ribs, mm-hmm. and their best wide receiver option of the day was some dude with the last name Allenson, who's no one's ever heard of until about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Like, then you go across the ball, and you look at all the weapons Atlanta has, like, mm-hmm. it, no secret who was going to win that game.
And like Lacey was saying, Green Bay had 2 turnovers total in the game, and they really, the Falcons capitalized off of those turnovers.
Definitely. Yeah. The Falcons got in Aaron Rodgers' head, too. Towards the end of the game, he's ripping off helmets and talking back to the refs.
Rodgers is cocky, I'll say it.
He's good.
Knows
you're a quarterback. You have to be.
Yeah. As is Cam Newton.
At the end of the day. So we could go over to the opposite side of the conference, Christian.
Sure. Take us through what happened in the Patriots-Steelers game.
The Patriots-Steelers game.
first off, I just want to tip my hat to the biggest troll of all, the Patriots fan who showed up to the Pittsburgh Steelers hotel and pulled the fire alarm in the hotel at 3:40 a.m. and cleared the hotel.
It might have been Johnny Manziel.
So hats off to you, young man, whoever you may be. That is fantastic. That's the best football fan ever.
That's like a thing, though. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I remember someone doing that to the Panthers when they were in town.
They were in town. A couple
of years ago, a Seahawks fan did that to the Panthers.
I think that's like a thing. But it was good. No, the Patriots just played Patriot football.
Yeah.
If in and out, Tom Brady was the man, did everything he's normally going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the league tried to not let the Patriots get to this point, and it didn't work. And the former college lacrosse player became the leading
Chris
tied
Hogan.
For leading leading receptions yards, touchdowns in a playoff game. In Patriots history, I mean, what, nine receptions, 180, two
yep.
TDs?
And he had caught 12 passes in his collegiate career.
Yeah.
Wow.
12 passes collegiate career. He played lacrosse for three of his 4 years yep. of eligibility and then played his last year and then went undrafted, played for, what, three or four different teams, and now mm-hmm. he's a Patriot.
Yep.
I feel like Tom Brady, like, makes his living with those kind of guys.
Yep.
Him, Wes Welker, Danny Amendola. That prototype, he's really good.
Edelman
with.
Was a collegiate quarterback.
Julian Edelman was a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been funny to watch the Packers and the Patriots play, because you just got a bunch of guys in a bunch of positions they never played before mm-hmm. playing in the NFL, which is cool. But I also think the most ironic thing of this whole matchup is the Super Bowl matchup, Christian, is that, do you know the team who has the most former players represented?
Who?
Take a wild guess.
Like NFL?
Yeah, pick the NFL team who has the most
Seahawks?
Players. No. The Cleveland Browns have the most former players represented in the NFL in the NFL Super Bowl this year. Can you believe that?
Very Dang. Funny. Very ironic.
That's ironic when you're the worst team in football and you have the most players, former players in the Super Bowl out of any other team.
Yeah. DJ, what was your takeaway from the weekend of really just poor football games?
That's really how I would describe it. You have two teams. You had
poor.
Two teams who were the best in the league, and they're going to get to square off in the Super Bowl. And then you had two mediocre teams who just were happy to be there and didn't do really much at all of anything.
They played like they were just happy to be there. They
yeah.
didn't play like they wanted it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Lacey, got anything to add on the
I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl, guys. I'm rooting for the Falcons just because they've only been to the Super Bowl one other time in franchise history. And Tom Brady, this will be his seventh time alone.
The GOAT.
It's wow. going to be a Wild West shootout, man. It's going to be an offensive barrage. I expect to score somewhere, combined score somewhere near the high 70s, low 80s.
I'm just excited for the food. I love the spread on Super Bowl Sunday. You got wings, you got dip.
Where are you going to be?
Spoken like a lineman who catches passes.
Oh,
spoken
geez. Like a lineman.
Where is everyone going to be on the
I'll
Super Bowl?
I'll probably be at my house.
I'll probably be at my apartment, yeah, chilling. Yep.
There's an invite
hey,
to DJs.
Come over.
There
should.
It is.
Aww.
Can I
Super
come
Bowl
over?
At my house.
Super Bowl at DJs.
Lacey will probably be there.
That's true.
I'll be eating all the wings. So.
There it is. All right, we're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, it's time.
Go
no,
M's.
No, it's not time.
Go
time.
M's.
Can we just
we
put
are.
It off one more week?
One
three
more week.
Weeks, 3 weeks away from
Me
the beginning of spring training.
21 days till pitchers catchers, ladies and gentlemen.
3 weeks till pitchers and catchers. A month until games start. It is time to talk Seattle Mariners baseball on Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Stay tuned.
My hair is kind of different. Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind. Stay positive and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game.
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete, joined by a member of the POU women's basketball team in Lacey Nicholson, a member of the POU football team in DJ Winter, and a member of the POU men's basketball team in Drew Artisoni. If you want to call into the show, and if you have any questions about about these Mariners, these 2017 Mariners, you can call us at 253-535-7332.
Very interesting bunch.
Number to do it is 253-535-7332. So let's get into it. It's time to reopen the conversation about the Mariners. Jerry DePoto has been busy. He's always busy every offseason. Since getting the job as the Mariners general manager in September of 2015, DePoto has made 35 trades. That's the most out of any franchise in baseball. So we thought this week we would just kind of run through these new players and get to know who they are and what they've done in the past. So let's get it started. Lacey, can you tell me who's new in the Mariner infield?
The M's picked up Gene Segura from the Diamondbacks. Attaway Gene. Excited to have you. He is a shortstop. He's going to be 27 this season. 27 years old, that is. He had a breakout year offensively in 2016. He batted .319, leading the National League in hits with 203. He hit 41 doubles, 20 home runs, and had an on-base percentage of .368. So I think between Cano, Seager, and now Segura, the Mariners have a good chance of having one of the best hitting infields in baseball.
I would agree with that, but there's also another spot on the infield that we'll see some new faces at. DJ, who's going to be playing first base for the M's this season?
Well, first off, you know, I'm filled with optimism, as I am for every Mariners season, I feel like. But, you know, in the past years, the Mariners really haven't had, I feel like, good first basemen. And I feel like this could be the best squad they've had in the past maybe 3 years between Logan Morrison, Adam Lind, and Dejo Lee last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, the job will be split between Dan Vogelbaugh, and he is a beast.
He's huge.
I saw him play. Monster. So he played for the Cubs last year, their minor league team. And I went to a Rainiers game and saw him play. And he just hit a bomb over, like, right center. And, he is definitely one of the biggest guys out there at 6 foot, 255 pounds. The only problem I have with him, though, is he's only played in the minor leagues, where he's hit .286, 118 doubles, and 83 home runs. And that's a total of 6 seasons in the minors. So it is yet to be seen if he can do it and produce at the professional level. But a different guy I'm excited about is Danny Valencia. He's played for the Oakland Athletics the past couple of years. And he's kind of like, you guys remember Willie Bloomquist?
Yes.
He kind of plays all over. Mm-hmm. And that's how Valencia plays. He can play first, left, third, and right field. Career-wise, he's a .271 hitter with a .317 on-base percentage. And he's right-handed, so he'll probably play against the lefties. And Vogelbach will play against righty pitchers.
Yeah, it should be. I think you nailed it on the head there with Vogelbach. I'm sure the first part of the season, Vogelbach will be a really good hitter because the league doesn't know how to pitch to him.
Yep.
And then by about the midway point, safe money says he's going to fall off and the league will figure it out. Much like we saw with Dejo Lee last year. He was good for the first part of the season. Then all of a sudden, everyone figured out how to pitch to him. And problems came from there. So it'll be interesting to see how the Mariners infield will produce offensively. Drew, can you tell me about the new starting pitchers the Mariners have?
Well, a group that struggled, and we were very critical of, especially towards the end of the year, we were very critical of, does have some new faces. Mariners most recently picked up a pitcher with an absolutely fantastic first name.
Yeah.
Andrew Smiley. He's a tall lefty. He's played 5 seasons in the bigs. 3.82 career and run average, 552 strikeouts, 161 walks. I mean, guy throws strikes. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. I mean, that's half the battle. You know, he can't put guys on base. That's what killed the Mariners half the time last year was just giving guys free
most
bases,
of the time.
Those guys scoring. Yeah, most of the time that's what ended up killing him. The M's also picked up Giovanni Gallardo. He's a 10-year veteran, career 3.84 ERA, 1,432 strikeouts, 603 walks, coming off a year where he had 5.04 ERA. So he got He got tied up a little bit.
A little bit.
But it's okay. He's a member of the Orioles. Very small ballpark, so a hitter's park. But, you know, 504 is still a lot. Could be a solid number five starter for the team. But what I did notice about both these two guys, we said the magic number last year for the M's was about two and a half runs a game given up. Would give them probably about the wins they need to get in the playoffs. And both these guys are over that. So I'm hoping for them to have better years if we want to see the M's anywhere near the postseason.
Yeah.
Coming up this next year.
Yeah.
And them stop being the that annoying ex-girlfriend we all hate.
I'm glad you said it.
I know it's true. Seriously.
So explain that analogy for us so that we get it.
To those who don't know.
We've never had an ex before. Yeah, for those who
aren't
lifelong listeners to the show, like, you know, we hope everyone is. You guys tune in. Basically, we've called the Mariners that annoying ex-girlfriend. They play with your heart a little bit, text you every once in a while, make you think you want to be with them again. And then they just end up breaking your heart in the end again.
I fall for it every year.
Yeah, then you wonder why you fell for it again and again and again. And you know what? The next year you're like, oh, no, it's going to be different this time with them. It's going to be different this time with her. It's not. No. I'm sorry, it's not. Christian's sitting here shaking his head because he just hopes that this time around it's going to be different.
She's
Christian,
a tease.
I'm with you,
I'm
Christian.
Sorry, she's a tease. She's just playing with your heart, brother. Break up with her. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't know. No, too much entertainment. I'm too
break up with her.
Too entertained, bad or good. I'm too entertained by the Mariners. I can't not stay away. Like you said, the M's added. I mean, they've added a bunch of guys as well that we didn't even talk about for depth for this rotation. If the starting pitching group can stay healthy, which they failed to do last year, Felix Hernandez was hurt, Sashi Bakuma was hurt. I mean, there's just a bunch of guys who were hurt all year long, and they couldn't put it together. So it should be an interesting group to watch to see, you know, how that works out. There's more new players to talk about. Lacey, who's new in the outfield?
The M's are adding Jerrod Dyson.
Yes.
He's coming off a season where he hit .276 in 337 plate appearances. What he really brings to the table offensively is his speed. He's stolen 30 bases in four of his five full seasons in the big leagues. And that speed, guys, doesn't only work offensively, but it definitely helps on the defensive end as well. The M's have also added Mitch Haniger. Haniger has not had a lot of opportunities in the major leagues yet. He's hit .290 in five seasons in the minors, and he's another guy that can get on base well.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see who ends up getting corner outfield jobs for the Mariners. I mean, last year we saw Guillermo Heredia play for the Mariners. We saw Ben Gamel play for the Mariners. There's also another guy they picked up last year. His name is Boog Powell. He was suspended 80 games for a PED bust. He should be back in the mix at least this year, maybe in a battle for a spot in spring training. The players that Jerry Dipoto has added to this outfield aren't necessarily, I mean, I'm not expecting much offensively from Jerrod Dyson. You just hope he gets on base so we can steal one for you.
I felt like they were just trying to plug holes in the outfield and save some money.
Well, it's not necessarily that. Mitch Haniger, he's also played center field, so he can play defense as well. They've made the outfield drastically better defensively from Seth Smith and Mark Trumbo and guys like that who were there. Now what they've essentially done is made their pitching staff better without them actually getting better.
Especially in a ballpark like Safeco Field that's so big and so pitcher-friendly. Like, you're going to have a lot of balls in the gaps, and you got to have fast guys to track those down.
But playing defense has never been really the M's issue. The M's issue has been in two places: not being able to keep pitchers healthy and not being able to score runs.
Yeah.
And the outfield's not going to be able to help in the second department.
So if we can't score runs, we got to play defense.
You got to prevent defense. Runs. Yeah. And that's kind of the angle that they're taking, I guess, right now. Speaking of pitchers, there's always new relievers every year. I mean, just a rotating spot. DJ, who's in the bullpen? Do we even know?
I mean, personally, do I know him? No. but I've seen a couple of them play and pitch at the big leagues. Bullpen is such a – it has a lot of turnover every year because you could be good one year, bad the other year, and we saw that in Fernando Rodney.
Yes.
Like, he was electric that one year. But I am excited about Edwin Diaz as our closer this year. Anyways, they added Mark
Zibchinski.
Thank you.
Yes. Zibchinski, yeah.
Try and read that name, listeners. It's incredibly impossible.
Yeah. I struggle just looking at it. And then Casey Fien, or Fine, I don't know.
It's Fien.
Fien. Mm-hmm. James Pazos and Zach Curtis. Zibchinski, Did I get that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was better.
That's pretty good. All right.
He's the only guy. Well, I feel like Casey Fien might have a chance too, but for James Pazos and Curtis, I don't know if they'll be on the opening day roster, but we'll see. But those are some new guys to look out for and hopefully make an impact this year.
Is there? I'll open up to everyone right now for a couple minutes. Is there any one player that you are just excited to see in a Mariner uniform? Is there one guy that jumps off the page that goes, whoa?
Do I have to pick like a new guy?
Yes, pick a new guy.
Gene Segura,
yep. That would probably be. That's a very good pick.
Yeah.
Very good pick. Why?
Because he batted .319 last year. He's a hitting shortstop, which we haven't had in years. Yeah. I think, oh, man. Even, like, I'll go back as far as Carlos Guillen.
Yes.
That could be our last. I mean, Dustin Ackley, when he played short, he wasn't getting the job done.
No.
Ketel Marte showed glimpses, but not too much as well. And we all know the Brendan Ryan saga and all
fiasco.
That was.
We'll call it a fiasco.
Very not good.
No. Yeah. So I'm excited about Gene Segura because we haven't seen a shortstop like him in Seattle for a while.
Yep. Anybody else want to take a gab?
You know my feelings about Mariners baseball. I'm not really excited to watch the Mariners play anytime. You know where my baseball allegiances lie.
It's a tough deal.
It's a tough deal, Drew.
It's an odd year, though.
It isn't. It's an odd year, so the Giants aren't going to win much, but we'll win a little bit.
At least you know what you're getting.
Yeah. I know. Hey, that's the thing. At least with the Giants, I know what I'm getting every year.
Yeah.
With the Mariners, the guys we're talking about right now may not even be on the team tomorrow. They could completely
could
recycle everybody. We could see brand new faces tomorrow. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah,
we could have a completely new Mariners. Guess who's new tomorrow?
Yep.
What about you, Lacey?
Yeah, Lacey, you want to take a pick? Just pick a name.
I don't have a name. I'll say I'm optimistic. I mean, I'm not a fan of baseball in general, but I am a Seattle girl, so I'm rooting for the Mariners.
Good call. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to pick a player of the week for both the University of Washington men's and women's basketball programs. Don't go anywhere. This is Mast Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete, joined by a member of the PLU women's basketball team in Lacey Nicholson, a member of the PLU football team in DJ Winter,
woo!
And a member of the PLU men's basketball team in Drew Artisoni. If you want to call in the show, you can do it at 253-535-7332 and talk a little UW men's and women's hoops with us right now. Once again, the number is 253-535-7332. You can also check us out on YouTube for clips of the show. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Check us out. Give us a subscribe. We'd appreciate it. And if you want to check out the full version of this show, go to mastmedia.plu.edu. To check out the full version of the show there. All right, so let's jump into it. That's last week we heard from Drew and DJ about how Lorenzo Romar is the worst Division I basketball coach on the face of the planet.
Oh, gosh.
He is. He is. You can't have that much talent and consistently lose unless your X's and O's are trash.
Look, I just started it again. You want to finish it up, Drew?
No, that's it.
That's it? Okay.
That's it. That's all I'm saying. Please tune in. Please go check out the radio show on Half Athlete Radio.
On YouTube.
Go check it out,
and you can hear that rant. All right. So,
I love you, Christian.
The UW men sit in about 10th place right now in the Pac-12. They're 2-5 overall in conference. On Wednesday, they beat the 11th best team in the Pac-12 in Colorado. It took overtime to do it. They won 85-83. And then on Saturday, they lost to Utah 94-72. So what we'll probably end up doing weekly on this show is just pick a player of the week from each program. So let's start with the men. Lacey, pick a player of the week from UW men's basketball.
Well, since I'm going first, I'm probably going to steal all your guys' player of the week. Markel Fultz.
Good pick.
Only a freshman. This guy is nuts, and he went pretty crazy against Colorado. He had 37 points, 8 assists, 3 blocks. And how tall is he, guys? Does anyone know?
Pretty sure he's a guard.
Yeah, so he's not too tall.
I want to say about 6'3". I could be wrong.
Okay. But. Well,
yeah,
three.
I think he's a smidge under 6'3". Just
yeah.
A smidge.
Yeah.
3 blocks and 4 steals. And his efforts really helped the Dogs to get the win that night. They beat Colorado by 2 in overtime. Fun game. And then later on, they play Utah. Again, Fultz has 30 points, 4 assists, and 7 rebounds. He's averaging over 23 points a game, and the next highest average on the team is David Crisp with only 14. So he's really their go-to scorer and dominant player on offense.
Speaking of David Crisp, he's going to be my he's going to be my player, I guess, player focus is what we can call it.
Mm-hmm.
For this segment. I actually played against David in some games in my early AAU days for basketball, which were really good. We didn't win, but you could tell he was going to be a good player from by playing him, I guess. But this year, his high for points is 26. He's a three-point specialist, and his high for three-point field goals made this year was 5, and that came against Seattle University. Point-wise, like Lacey said, he's averaging 14. If we want to really break it down, 13.9. from three-point range, he's shooting 42%. And I feel like in order for the Dogs to be more successful towards the end of the year, he's going to have to step up and take even more shots than what he's doing, because him and Fultz are really the only scorers I see on that team. They don't have a great supporting cast, and that's why they've been struggling along with Lorenzo Romar's bad coaching decisions.
I think that's fair. Drew, you got a player of the week?
Oh, player of the week. I have two players who need to step up. Noah Dickerson.
Calling them out?
Noah Dickerson and Matisse Thybulle need to step up and score a little more, be a little bit more efficient, and make the most of their minutes, because the only reason that UW beat Colorado is because Markel Fultz had a career night. That's it. So we know the help's not going to come from the coaching staff, so you're going to need some supporting cast to step up and help. And I think Dickerson and Thybulle have the bodies. They have NBA bodies and the skill set to do it. They just need to kind of find their niche in the offense around those two guys.
And they're young. I mean,
they're young guys too, yeah.
Sophomores.
Yep. That's still young.
It's not young. Sadly, it's not young for Division I basketball anymore. Yeah. But you say Markel Fultz is only a freshman.
Yeah,
he's one and done.
Yes. Going to be the first number one overall pick without question.
Right.
And then along comes the next number one pick to UW.
Yeah. Then Michael Porter Jr. is going to who's going to Nathan Hale currently is going to now become the next overall pick the next year.
That guy is an athlete.
Have you seen him play?
Yeah, I've seen him play. Holy moly, he's going to be fun to watch.
Yes, he will. So
kick it over to the women.
Let's move on to the UW women's basketball program. It'll be much more fun to talk about. I can promise you that. They made it all the way to the Final Four last season. I just saw today that they moved up to number 7 in the AP polls. They are currently sitting atop the Pac-12 with an 18-2 overall record. They are 6-1 in conference. They didn't play much last week. They had a game against rival WSU yesterday and beat the Cougs 87-44.
I think that puts them at 19-2, actually.
Yeah,
they are 19-2.
Good call. Should have done my homework this morning.
The girl with all the stats.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right, same thing we did for the men. Let's do it for the women. Everybody pick a player of the week.
Well, I'm going to go first and just go with the obvious choice, like Lacey did with the men, and that's Kelsey Plum. She was an All-American last year, and she is the Pac all-time leading scorer for the Pac-12.
Wow.
And against Oregon, actually, this year, she had 44 points.
Woo-hoo.
I know, which is a lot. I don't think I've ever scored that. Drew, have you ever scored 44 points in a game?
No, I've never scored 44.
Yeah, so that's...
Ask me.
Lacey?
No, I haven't.
Lacey wears that number. She's not scored that number.
On the season, she's averaging 31 points a game.
It's ridiculous.
And that is unreal. She has a good chance of going number one in the WNBA draft, I want to say as well. I don't know if what the odds are or if I would put my money, if I was a betting man, on that.
If you were a betting man.
Yeah. But on the – she's shooting a total of 53% from the field, 43% from downtown. So those are all above average numbers.
I would agree with that statement.
Yeah.
Holy
but
cow.
Yeah, Kelsey Plum is amazing. She's the leader of that team. And I'll pass it off to the leader of the PLU women's basketball team, Lacey.
Thanks, Deej. My player of the weekend or the last couple games is going to be Chantel Osahar. She is a beast on getting boards. And we talk about Kelsey Plum being the leading scorer of the Pac-12. I'm pretty sure Chantel is the leading rebounder right now in the Pac-12. I'm actually not pretty sure. I'm definitely sure that is a fact.
She has a weird jump shot.
She has a weird jump shot.
Time out.
Hey,
she rose to national prominence on that jump shot and like made like UW women's basketball put them on the map last year at the very beginning of the year before they won games for that set three.
And she puts it in the hole against Wazoo. She played 35 minutes that game, had 30 rebounds and 20 points.
It's beastly. Wow.
Talk about a double-double. That is a beast.
She's a double-double machine.
Wow. Yeah, she. That was a Pac-12 record in rebounds. There's only been 11 people in all of NCAA history to get 30 or more rebounds. So pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, it's tough to move her.
Yeah.
It's tough to move her.
I'd like to try.
She's a brick.
She is. So I guess that does that kick it over to me?
Yeah, it's your turn,
it
Drew.
Sure does.
Pick a player of the week for the UW women's.
As a role player, I feel it's only appropriate that I pick a role player, right? So I'm going to pick Katie Collier, who starts, but she's a role player, rebounding specialist, I guess I'd call her. Shoots when she's open, plays very well, started 18 games. Second on the team in rebounding, fifth in scoring. Recorded first career double-double against BYU with 14 and 12. Had a career high 15 rebounds, 5 assists against UCLA. I mean, she's playing good basketball, and she's doing the dirty work. And, you know, I can appreciate that.
You love
that.
The dirty work.
I can appreciate that. So I feel like Katie Collier, you know, you have Osa Hoare who scores. You have Plum who scores. You need someone who does that on a team with two scorers like that. I think Katie Collier is going to be the one to watch. She will probably keep this team going.
She's 6'3", isn't she?
Yeah, she's 6'3".
Jeez.
She's tall, man.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Redshirt senior, too. Went to Seattle Christian, so hometown.
Good picks, everybody. Good picks on players of the week for the UW basketball programs. I'm a little sad that nobody asked me how many points I've scored one time.
How many?
But that's
Christian,
okay.
Christian, how many points
have
you scored?
I haven't scored 44 points in my life. So. I still didn't get included, and it was
I'm sorry. Sad. That's okay. My fault. I'll take full ownership for it.
All right. We're just about done here with Mast Radio. Mast Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. It's been a great show today. You can check us out next week. Same time, same place. I don't know what's going on with Laser during J-Term. I don't know how many shows are going on. I think we may be one of the only ones.
We outdid our competition,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, we're killing it.
I think we're doing well.
Yeah.
All right, for DJ Winter, Lacey Nicholson, and Drew Artisoni, my name is Christian Bond. Catch us next week. We're out of here. See ya.
See ya.